It's time for our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party's Simon Court.
The government has recently rejected all of the Climate Change Commission's recommendations regarding strengthening the country's methane targets. The Commission's recommendations include strengthening the country's 2015 methane emission targets, continuing lowering emissions after 2050, and that international shipping and aviation, which represents 9% of the country's total emissions, should be included within targets. Despite the Commission saying that there would be upfront costs, many of the changes would result in cost savings over time. However, the government has rejected this claim. For our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party, I spoke to MP Simon Court about the government rejecting these recommendations. Why does the government disagree with the Commission's recommendations here?
Well, the government's response was practical, and that's to prioritise measures that plausibly reduce real-world warming, like updating our methane emissions target to a 14 to 24% reduction from 2017 levels by the time we get to 2050. That's quite a significant reduction in methane emissions, which primarily come from New Zealand's primary production activities, from sheep and beef farming, for example. But what the government wanted to avoid was those heavy-handed climate settings that the Climate Commission suggested. They're actually going to worsen the cost of living pressures and, of course, shift New Zealand's emissions offshore without actually doing anything for the client, for the climate. Now, you know, ACT has always said you do not fix the climate by virtue signalling here in New Zealand, continuing to demand the same products and services that you would anyway, but outsourcing the climate emissions to countries that do not have the same efficiencies, do not have an emissions trading scheme, and do not pay for their carbon in the way Kiwi consumers do. So look, on balance, the government said, look, what the Climate Change Commission was proposing were interesting ideas, but not something that the government would take up.
The government also rejected the Commission's advice to continue lowering emissions after 2050. Does the government not view the climate crisis as a long-term, continuous crisis needing to be addressed?
Well, I think that's unhelpful. The government has signed up to a net zero 2050 target, along with many other developing economies. Some countries, like China, have said they're not going to be able to meet that, and they're talking about targets like out in the 2060s, same as India. They're obviously not making any progress towards that at all. Those countries are actually going backwards, given the number of coal-fired power stations, about two a week, that China has brought online since signing up to that commitment. So, you know, the New Zealand government is doing what's practical, what's pragmatic. We've said we're going to aim for this 2050 net zero target, but we're certainly not going to be taking actions that impoverish New Zealanders, you know, risk our exports without any scientific evidence that they would credibly reduce global emissions.
Greenpeace says this government is acting like climate deniers, rejecting science, reviving and subsidising fossil fuels and weakening the methane target. Every move this government makes pushes us deeper into the climate crisis. What do you make of the statement?
Well, Greenpeace are simply human deniers. I mean, it's all very well for them to say all of these things, but you know, governments have to make responsible decisions that balance the needs of all New Zealanders. And we already have an emissions trading scheme currently running between $50 and $60 per tonne of carbon. So everyone listening to this show who's got the lights on and the power on right now is paying for the emissions from Huntly Power Station's coal-fired units, from the gas generators running at Taranaki Combined Cycle now, which provide a significant amount of firm baseload electricity to New Zealand's grid. Without it, wind and solar could not actually keep the lights on. So everyone listening is paying for their emissions from those power stations. If you caught a bus, the diesel fuel, that also is covered by the emissions trading scheme, so you're paying for your emissions there. I mean, Kiwis are doing their bit. The government is doing our part globally. So I totally reject what Greenpeace is saying.
As well as all of this, Finance Minister Nicol Willis, speaking to the Finance and Expenditure Committee and to reporters afterwards, ruled out paying other countries to meet the 2030 climate target under the Paris Agreement. She essentially says the government plans to either meet this target only through emissions targets at home or to not meet the target at all. Despite the reversal of various climate-related targets, are you confident the country will be able to meet the 2030 climate target under the Paris Agreement?
Well, the government is doing everything that it must do, and that includes putting out an emissions reduction plan, which shows how the target will be met. But we must also remember that achieving the target won't be known for at least 1 or 2 years after 2030, when essentially the receipts are all added up. In the meantime, New Zealand has to continue doing what is important, which is we've got a cap on emissions through the emissions trading scheme. Kiwis are paying for their emissions. If the price goes up, then they have an incentive to reduce the amount of carbon they use. Now, but by the same token, the government has to prioritise keeping the lights on, affordable and reliable electricity. Sustainability is important, but if you can't afford to pay for electricity, and if you can't get a job because factories, manufacturers and local businesses are closing, including food and hospitality, because they can't afford to pay for energy, then none of this matters. We'll simply be poorer sitting in cold, dark homes, and we won't have done anything to fix the climate.
Do you think that this, alongside reversing the ban on offshore oil and gas exploration and reducing our methane emission target from 24% to 47% to 14% to 25%, for example, will have an impact heading into next year's general elections?
Yeah, I think the impact will be that instead of this upward pressure on household living costs, that these what you might call overly ambitious, or some people might say suicidal climate targets that the previous government adopted were basically driving New Zealand into darkness. What I think people will experience as they get closer to the next election is actually some relief on household budgets, and a sense that actually, like the rest of the world, we will continue to need oil, gas, diesel, plastics and all of these other things that are created from using our petroleum hydrocarbon resources here in New Zealand in order to be a successful developed country. Now, at some point in the future, technologies will arrive, whether it's turning algae into plastic, or I don't know, New Zealand might one day wake up and decide they want small nuclear reactors to replace our gas and coal. All of these things are available to us in the future. But right now, we just need to focus on the fact that Kiwis have had a really tough few years of high inflation, high interest rates, and actually just providing for their families, creating a bit of headroom so they can pay down their mortgages. And if you're wanting to get on the property ladder, are thinking about, actually, can I save enough for a deposit to buy my first home, an apartment, a unit somewhere? These are all the things this government is focusing on as we get closer to the next election.
That was the ACT Party's Simon Court on the government rejecting the Climate Change Commission's recommendations to strengthen the country's methane targets.
That was Simon Court from the ACT Party.